We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Freaky Friday to you. And it is a TGIF Friday the 13th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports kicking off live on 1037 The Game. My name is Ben, the guy in the green shirt. Looking like an Oregon Ducks fan. He is the famous Clint D. And for the next 2.5 hours, we got you. Bringing you home to your favorite high school football game tonight and then into a full football weekend. We are inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Great guest today. The return of football night in Acadiana with yours truly involved coming at you today. But let's go split screen, shall we? And I think one game for our favorite programs, franchises, a little bigger than the others. Not unfair to say it. We love all of our children equally, except maybe not this week. What am I talking about? Let me tell you. The future of LSU, I believe, has a chance to be on display tomorrow night inside Tiger Stadium. Because after all, how competitive will it be? Name your score, name the players that you want to get in there. If you're Ed Ogeron, if you're Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger on one side, Dave Aranda on the other, get the next wave ready. Many of them for the 2020 season and beyond, a select few of them that can help you right away. And I do think if some of the running backs, right, Ty Davis Price, John Emery, if some of the young defensive players like a Cardell Flott, if these guys want to get into a rotation and be more than just kind of speculative offensive or defensive plays, maybe more regular special teams plays. Once you get into SEC action tomorrow night, pretty good opportunity inside Death Valley for them to get their wares about them. Yeah, we all want to know, will the offense continue to look like it has? I think we're all interested on if Joe Burrow in limited time can show that he does belong in that Heisman conversation. So there are some big picture star-worthy headlines. But in a game that figures to be this lopsided, it's probably a little bit more about the next generation of LSU players starting to get their feet wet in front of the home fans. As for the Raging Cajuns, how about an opportunity at home to get fat on TSU and maybe gain some confidence in the process? Get a second straight win heading into a pivotal road contest against Ohio next weekend. Sure, Texas Southern's got some fairly recognizable name brand talent. A couple of guys that started off at Power 5 schools, most notably the quarterback. DeAndre Johnson began his tenure with the Florida State Seminoles. Then he made a stop at Last Chance U. Turns out it wasn't his last chance. That would be Texas Southern. And that line still hovering, CD, around 44 points. And so again, kind of like the LSU contest, the Cajuns game is a chance for the home fans to get to see the home team, enjoy $2 beers, and then maybe some of the next generation of Cajuns get their feet wet as well. But more importantly, for a team that stubbed its toe a bit in the opener, right, turned it over 5 times in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, this is really about refining processes. And if that sounds boring to you, it should, because Billy Napier is a Nick Saban disciple. And if you don't think the word process, right, culture, system, those are the things that he talks about all the time because he's about winning. And those are the things that Saban passes down to those that are inside of the family tree. But the big story as we finish our split screen look, opening segment on a Friday the 13th, the big story has to be the Saints. They're taking on a Rams team, a game that leaves an incredible amount of bad blood and a bad taste in the mouth of not only, what, Saints fans, I would imagine local media throughout the area, perhaps some. I would think most notably Sean Payton that are on that sideline. But I've been telling you all week long, I think that this is another game It's literally just 2 of 16 for many of these players. And to a man, they've basically have said that this week. Sure, they remember what happened last January. They'll never forget it. But I think it's more about the stripes than it was the team wearing the gold and the blue. But this is a big one. And it's something that I think has a chance to set the tone for the Saints season. And let me tell you what I mean. Happy to take your phone calls on Saints-Rams as well. 706-0111. It's big from this perspective. We talk a lot on this program about peaking at the right time. It's all professional sports is about. And even when you start to look at college basketball, college baseball, heck, it's all those postseasons are about as well. Are you healthy? Do you have the right form heading down the stretch of what's going to be a rigorous playoff bracket? And the NFL is that way. If you're not the way you need to be in week 16, 17, and beyond, in a position to go to the playoffs in week 16, 17 to begin, and then going forward, it's not going to matter. Hottest, healthiest team wins it all. And so it's obviously more important how the Saints are in December, January, and early February. We get that. But consider, Saints started 0-2 in 2017. We weren't really sure who they were, even after beating the Dolphins over in London. We just weren't really sure. It took maybe until the midseason point for us to realize, wow, this second-year receiver, Michael Thomas, is not only borderline special, he's a freak. That was the rookie season for Alvin Kamara. We all started to, I think, put it together in our minds, maybe around the time that Kamara and Mark Ingram just curb-stomped Buffalo. Okay, this is actually maybe one of the better teams in the NFC. Last year, while we knew that by the midway point of the season, again, they were really bad to begin the year. Losing to Fitzmagic and the Bucks. Should have lost to Zane Gonzalez and the Browns in week two. So my point to you is this. The Saints' schedule starts more difficult than it ends, at least on paper. You watch the way Carolina, even for that matter, the winner last night, Tampa looked. I don't think the Saints are going to be challenged outside of maybe Atlanta in the division. And so if you have a little bit more of a cushy ending to the schedule, and you have a chance to start better than you have the last 2 years at the front end, that would be one heck of a signal of intent and a signal that this franchise is ready to keep taking that next step. And yeah, the stripes may have cost the Saints from a potential final step to the final game in the Super Bowl last year, but from the Minnesota Miracle to the no-call in NOLA, if you want to take it to the next level, a win against the Rams, I think, would make a pretty big dent of an impression around the National Football League circles. Now, we also understand that it's the first of a two-game West Coast roadie. So how are they going to look against the Rams? How will they look against the Seahawks? We know this. If you got one in the bag before you head to the next one, you're going to be feeling like, okay, at worst a split, at worst 2-1, then you get to come back to the Dome. Life would be good. You lose this one, you're going to heap some pressure onto a game against one of the league's best rushing attacks, Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. So big game, a lot of implications. Even though it's early, it might just signal that the Saints, more than just in words, are ready to take that final step. And this is our first segment, ready for a big show today. On the other side of our opening break, Ed Daniels, WGNO Sports, we'll get his take on the Saints' trip out to the Rams, as Ed Daniels also getting ready for big-time high school football in the Big Easy. Might just go down that road with him for a moment as well. So Easy Ed coming aboard in about 3 or 4 minutes. At straight up 5 o'clock, our pleasure to welcome back aboard Justin Vincent, former Bar Buck, LSU Tiger, and Pittsburgh Steeler. Heck, we had the Bar Bucks broadcast team roaming our hallways here moments ago. Should have told him that JV was coming on. He'll be with us at 5. At 5:45, Billy Embody, go247.com. Recruiting this weekend for LSU. Who's coming to Death Valley? He'll let you know all about it. And then myself alongside Raymond Parse III bring you the Football Night in Acadiana pregame show from 6 to 6:30 leading into STM football. That's how we're going to do it on a Friday. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You say tomato, I say tomato. the famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in on a freaky football Friday. Let's take a trip out to New Orleans. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, it's our good friend Ed Daniels, WGNO-TV in the Crescent City. How are you, Ed?
Hey, Ben. What's up, buddy?
Saints taking a pretty big trip out to the West Coast. You get the sense this maybe isn't quite the revenge game for the players that the fans, maybe some others think it is?
I don't think the players will say that it's in a revenge game, but I think they certainly want to put one on the Rams. Look, I don't care what they say. You know, I know it's a new season. I hear all the jargon and all of that, but you can't tell me it still doesn't sting. So this is more than just your average regular season game. Although, I got to be honest, you know, it really is kind of a mixed bag in this game because, look, this is only your second game. Both teams have only played one game. And I really don't think either team knows what they have. But I will say this, Ben. If you look back to last year, that game in week 9 or whatever it was decided who was going to have home field in the NFC because the teams finished with identical records. So I think this is a game that you circle if you want to have those aspirations, and I think the Saints certainly do. Plus, you know what? After they play the Rams, Seattle, and Dallas, there's a chance that they're going to be favored in every game the rest of the season. So you can't tell me that both teams don't know that this is like a two-game swing if they're both up at the top of the conference at the end of the year, and I expect them both to be there.
It's a heck of a point. I'll ask you this. When you watched that opener on Monday night, did it appear to you that the load for Michael Thomas maybe was lightened a little bit, maybe some more help this year as far as receiving targets?
Well, I think so. You know, I mean, I don't think we've seen the full effect of Jared Cook yet. But the one thing I would say is I'd be very careful about Kamara's touches. You know, we had John Forcade, the former Saints quarterback, on our show Wednesday night, our Sports Zone show, down here, and he said, look, the Saints ought to use Latavius Murray more. I think they've got to be very judicious as to how they use Kamara. Now, he had 21 touches the other night, and, you know, I don't think you can go much further than that. So, you know, I like the Saints' offensive line in this game, even though the Rams have Aaron Donald. I don't know how good they are up front. I think the Saints will be able to run the football on them some. And the thing that I like about this game is that the Saints are getting David Onyemata back. And if you look at Monday night, the glaring weakness for the Saints was that run defense. They gave up 180 yards to a team that doesn't run the ball that well. So they don't have Rankins back yet. He's been practicing. But you know Onyemata is going to be in there, and I think he's a very underrated player, and I think he's going to help them significantly on Sunday.
Talking Saints football with Ed Daniels, WGNO's TV, in New Orleans. I'm glad you mentioned underrated defensive lineman. I wanted to go there next on Trey Hendrickson. And after watching what he did, are we sometimes forgetting that with Marcus Davenport around, everybody's waiting on his development, that Hendrickson might just be blossoming in front of our eyes?
Well, that could be happening. You know, I think, you know, here's a guy who was a mid-round pick who is maybe getting to start to figure the league out a little bit. And the one thing that I've learned over the years is that these defensive linemen are on a little bit of a different clock. I just think that it's a very demanding position. You're up against very tough, intelligent players who play in this league on the offensive line. And it's something I think you got to figure out. And look, Davenport's figuring it out right now. You know, and there's a lot of people who have told me, hey, I don't know about this Davenport. That may have been a mistake. And my answer to that would be, man, I think you got to give it some time. You got to remember, the guy was hurt last year, didn't play a full season. So he hasn't even played 16 games in the NFL. So I would be a little more judicious in my criticism of Davenport, and I think we've got to give him a chance to grow and develop. But Hendrickson, you know, he had a great game. The one thing I'm not surprised by, though, is that the Saints got pressure on Houston, because remember, their offensive line is not very good. That's why they went out and overpaid for Laramie Tunsil, because if they didn't get a tackle, they were going to get Deshaun Watson killed.
There's no question. And Ed, neither you nor I covering the Rams on a day-to-day basis, but I'll get your view from 1,000 feet on kind of how they're treating and using Todd Gurley and your expectations for how much of a focal point he'll be Sunday.
Well, I think they've got to be smart with him, you know. Obviously he didn't play a ton last year against the Saints in the NFC Championship game, and I think you've just got to be smart with his use. But, boy, you know, he's still a very good player. He's still an excellent player.
Coming down the stretch with Ed Daniels on 103.7 The Game. All right, so Saints have a two-game road trip. It's this one, then Seattle. I guess your overall outlook on how the schedule plays out early, it's easy to see that it's a little more cushy toward the end, but their opportunity to maybe take at least one of these two.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal. I think they're going to be, at the very least, 2-2, 3-1 after the first month. And if they're 3-1 after the first month and they're favored in all those other games, which is a real possibility, you got to remember they've got 6 division games left. And I know those division games are tough, but you know what? How good is the rest of the NFC South, Ben? And it looks to me like not very.
Yeah, last night was
brutal. So what I'm saying is that, hey, if the Saints can somehow get to the end of this month and they're 3-1, then, you know, in my opinion, if they keep their team relatively healthy, then they have a chance to be real good again.
Ed, before we let you go, give us a flavor for the high school action in your neck of the woods tonight.
Well, I'm at Wenzel Field in Old Metairie right now. It's a 4:30 game getting ready to kick off. De La Salle, who went to the Dome a couple of years ago, that everyone in the state ought to be familiar with. They're a really good team and a big team. They're taking on Country Day, which is a smaller school, down to 1A this year. But the one thing that makes them special is they have Justin Ibieta, the Tulane commit at quarterback, and he is a very, very good player. So, remember, last year, Country Day beat A. Meade in the first game of the regular season on August 31st, and A. Meade won the 2A championship. And they had players all over the field. Their quarterback went to Kentucky. They had a guy go to Alabama, another to LSU, and they had two really good young running backs. So Ibieta can make up for a lot of, I don't want to say deficiencies, but maybe when the other team's better than you, he can carry the day. He's that good a player.
Always grateful for the time. Ed, enjoy the ball game tonight. Thank you.
All right, man. Talk to you soon now.
There it is. Ed Daniels, WGNO Sports in the Big Easy. And, Clint, I love when we had that guy on because I don't think it was the last time, maybe the time prior. We got him, I want to say, live from, like, the middle of a state championship baseball game. And you can almost hear some, like, baseball dad just giving the business the blue in the background.
I think it was probably around the quarterfinals, if I'm not mistaken, because obviously Ed Daniels out in New Orleans. So I think it was during a key like quarterfinal matchup in the postseason. So definitely you were hearing the fans go nuts, and that was the best part of that interview. And you were hearing that a little bit towards the end, even hours before a game gets started.
Yeah, you talking about the last time out?
No, I'm talking about today because you were hearing a little bit of the crowd noise.
You may or may not have understood that correctly.
Okay.
They're kicking off at 4:30.
Oh, whoa.
That ball game's kicking off in 5 minutes.
Okay, no wonder I heard the noise.
Look, that dude's a legend. I mean, we got boots on the ground in New Orleans. That guy's going to cover De La Salle and a pretty good ball game as well. I'm glad he mentioned Justin Ibieta. And the I called a basketball game one time between that program and LCA, and it's just fun because you think about them and – you know, they're over there in New Orleans, right? And yet their mascot is the...
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Cajuns.
Oh, nice.
How about that?
Did I know that?
Metairie Country Day, Cajuns. And so it was a weird thing to be in Cajun country calling a game with a team from New Orleans and having to refer to them as the Cajuns. I love we get Ed Daniels on. Great to talk a little Saints football there. We'll have more going into the Saints-Rams game before we're out of here at 6:30 today. And we'll even have a little Saints-Rams flair with our Sink or Swim questions of the day. Clint, you know it's a football Friday. We do over-unders. But how many do you really want me to throw at you for LSU Demons tomorrow night? Not like Wake Forest. Not like that would make a huge difference. Not those demon deacons, but like the actual demons of Northwestern State. And so, yeah, I'm going to squeeze one in. I got one over-under LSU question. Then I got two from the Saints-Rams perspective. So make sure that you have the number ready. 706-0111. The second half of our 4 o'clock hour, it's time to get interactive. My buddy Blaine Viator, I had to listen to him crow about how much fun it was to be at the open-air Crow Dome taking all of your calls. And here I am, just basically playing tiddlywinks, man. So let's talk some shop here. On the other side, some great guests in the 5 o'clock hour lined up as well. Justin Vincent coming aboard in his 5 o'clock hour leadoff spot. Right out of the gate at 5, we'll have the former player of the game for LSU beating Georgia in the 03 SEC title game. And then he went and did it again January 4, 2004, as the Tigers beat the Oklahoma Sooners in Nowlands. So Justin Vincent coming aboard at 5. Billy Embody talking recruiting at 5:45, and then football night in Acadiana at 6. Full deck on a Friday. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
And right now, we bring you to a 4 o'clock hour fixture. Our sink or swim question of the day, but it's a football Friday, and that means questions, specifically over-unders, ready to get interactive with you. Dial us up when ready, 706-0111. But first, we'll get to the music.
Exciting and new.
New territory, Clint. We're going to go 1 for LSU, 2 for the Saints today. We don't want to overload you. So we got 3 the hard way, and here's how we're getting after it. Over-under number 1, Miles Brennan. 3.5 pass attempts in the game tomorrow night. Didn't want to completely ask you how long Joe Burrow plays, but this is another way of skinning that cat. How much seasoning, how much time, and then how much will they throw the ball for Brennan once he is into the ballgame against Northwestern State? So your first over-under, 3.5 passing attempts for LSU backup quarterback Miles Brennan. Now let's take 2 for the Saints. On the Houdat side of the ledger, over-under number 2, Drew Brees. Over-under 325 passing yards going on the road to take on the Rams. And your third over-under, this one's the Rams side of the aisle, Todd Gurley, over-under 125 yards from scrimmage. Not rushing, from scrimmage. Once more, and then we'll let Clint lead us off. Brennan, 3.5 passing attempts for LSU. Brees, 325 passing yards for the Saints. And the Gurley man, 125 yards all told for the Rams. Clint, what say you?
For the first one, it seems like it's just way too easy. This is going to be pound the over for Miles Brennan. I think he winds up getting several opportunities to pass the football, especially if the things work out the way I expect it to, where you have Joe Burrow throw for much of the first half, probably winds up leaving prior to the final drive of the first half, giving Miles Brennan opportunity. He's out there for the entire third quarter, and then if the game's still out of hand, he probably wind up putting in Peter Parrish in the fourth. So I'm going to pound the over with Miles Brennan. Number 2, Drew Brees. I'm going over, but I'm very much kind of leaning on the edge of that over. Probably 330, 335 is where he's going to wind up hitting. As you look at last week, they pretty much stuffed the passing game altogether in favor of a lot of the run game. Now, mind you, a lot of that was because Cam Newton is not the Cam Newton that we remember. And then for the final one, Todd Gurley, 125 yards from scrimmage. I'm going under. And this one is also kind of a lean. I'm going 115. I feel like that's where he's going to hit.
I like it. Just sucking right up to the number on Brees and on Gurley. I'll give my thoughts, but let's get you in the queue. Call us up, 706-0111. And we disagree at least once, but I'll get to it shortly. With Brennan, we sort of agree. I'm also going over, but I'm a lot closer to the edge than you were on this one. You're pounding the over. I'm not ready to thump my chest about it. Here's why. I believe that Burrow plays the entire first half. I think he might even play a series in the second half. Then I think they turn the reins over. But I'm not sure how much they're going to turn Brennan loose. Has nothing to do with the lack of confidence. But I think the confidence that needs to really be gained offensively in the second half of this game is for the next men up at running back. That's why I'm not so sure about this number, Clint. I think there's a really big opportunity, as long as they're healthy, for Ty Davis-Price, John Emery Jr., and let us not forget Chris Curry, baby beast mode. Those three are the ones that they probably are looking to test in live game action, under the lights with bullets flying, and somebody else other than their teammates trying to tackle them. I think the second half offensively is more about those guys. So while they're focusing on the run attack, how much is Brennan going to be allowed to cut it loose? I've got my doubts about that. So I'm going to go over, but it's close for me. We disagree on Breeze. I'm going under 325 passing yards for the Saints QB. Why? Because I think this is an opportunity, as Ed Daniels alluded to last segment. It's time for the Saints to run the football, and it's time for Latavius Murray to get maybe not quite Mark Ingram treatment, because I don't think he's that good, but I think there's an opportunity for him to tote it, I don't know, 9 to 12 times in this ball game, don't you? And so for me, Breeze was forced to help win this thing in the second half. He was forced to help the Saints come from behind on two different occasions, including a last-ditch effort. That's why he rolled up 370 yards through the air. I don't think they're going to require him to play that type of game in the Coliseum. And I do think that the running game for the Saints, not just Kamara, has an opportunity to take center stage. So give me the under Breeze, 325 yards. As for Todd Gurley, I'm also going under. He's capable of doing double this, even on an improved Saints defense. He's that good. But I don't think he's that healthy. And I also agree with the dean of sports TV in New Orleans, Ed Daniels. I agree completely that they're kind of resting him for a stretch run. The Rams, kind of like the Saints, know that they have the goods to get wherever they want to go in this NFL season, into the playoffs and through the playoffs. They've got that type of roster. They've got that type of pedigree now. And they've got one of the, say, 8 to 10 best quarterbacks in the league. He's not my favorite, but I recognize that Goff is pretty good. So I think that they know that if Gurley is healthy for the stretch run, they're a completely different animal. And so I think you'll see a pitch count even more than Kamara. I mean, maybe even two-thirds of the touches that Kamara gets go to Gurley Sunday afternoon in L.A. And so because of the relatively limited exposure, give me under 125 yards for scrimmage for one of the NFL's best all-purpose backs. All right, that's what Clint has to say. That's what I have to say. Now we're waiting on you, and we've got some time. We got 20 minutes until Justin Vincent joins us on the Ardco Equipment Hotline. So when you're ready, hit us up. 706-0111. Clint's got all three of our over-unders on Facebook, on Twitter as well, at 103.7 The Game. So let us know what you're thinking on this Football Friday. Don't want to go too far down the well with LSU or the Cajuns, because this game isn't really about the starters, except for staying healthy, and except for LSU being without a couple of key guys. We know that they'll be without some defensive linemen, Rashard Lawrence, Glenn Logan. We learned yesterday from Ed O that Kalyvon Chaisson is doubtful. That doesn't surprise me. They kind of brought him along gingerly through fall camp in August. It doesn't surprise me, with an opportunity to breathe in week three, maybe even week four, that they're going to rest some of these guys. So not a ton of surprise there. So let's do this. We'll take our final break of the hour. When we return, still plenty of opportunity for you to weigh in. I'm also going to tell you about a former LSU quarterback that has now landed with an in-state team. It's an interesting storyline. I'll give it to you when we return. So stick with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And as always, we're live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
over under half a beer for the famous Clint D at Twin Peaks. And you know, you're doing the eats and the scenic views, but are you walking the walk when it comes to the drinks, brother?
I think it might be a very low possibility, low percent chance, but you know what? As Meatloaf once said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Oh, I can't believe you brought out Meatloaf. All right, so pound the under there. Hey. Let us know what you're thinking over under for our three questions that we put on the board for you. Again, once more, Miles Brennan, 3.5 pass attempts. It's a one-sided answer that we're getting so far on social media. Drew Brees, 325 passing yards at the Rams. Todd Gurley, 125 yards from scrimmage against the Saints Sunday afternoon. Hit us up. Let us know. 706-0111. How about that former LSU quarterback that I alluded to? There's already been one CD who's moved over from the Tigers to Tulane in recent years, and Justin McMillan. And now a former Louisiana Gatorade Player of the Year has moved on from LSU to another SEC school, and he's coming back to the boot. Lindsey Scott led Zachary to the 5A state title in 2015, started with Miles and the Tigers, ended up with the Missouri Tigers, but he's not the starter because Kelly Bryant, formerly of Clemson, is there. And according to Mike Gegenheimer, Lindsey Scott Jr. has transferred to Nichols. So Tim Rebo with a nice get here in the second week of the season. According to Gegenheimer, Lindsey Scott will not play this weekend, and he's not going to be a part of the team's trip to Prairie View A&M. That's interesting news. And so if we started to do, and this would take a lot of research and time, but even prior to the transfer portal, if we were to kind of establish some kind of diagram of former LSU quarterbacks and where they've ended up, it would be astounding, right? And even if I just started to go, you know, a little bit in terms of chronological age, got to give a nod here to the late, great Tony Robichaux for that one. But if we were to play that game, I mentioned Justin McMillan, Tulane, Lindsey Scott Jr. now, let's see, Missouri. Yeah. I think there was a stop maybe at Last Chance U, if I'm not mistaken. Nichols. I'm thinking of Lowell Narcisse bouncing around as well. He's with Frank Wilson and UTSA. I mean, I could play this game for a long time. Brandon Harris, North Carolina. Anthony Jennings, the UL Raging Cajuns. We could keep going, couldn't we? I mean, seriously, they have had some guys just moving around. Phillip Rivers' little brother that ended up in North Louisiana playing football. Let's see. Hayden Reddick at Rutgers. I legitimately could probably do the next hour and 45 minutes of the show on that topic. But I won't because I'm not going to, and that's not the best use of our time. But, again, we got some time. If you want to dive in on the sink or swim question, any of the three over-unders, 706-0111. I'll share with you what the Brain Trust on Facebook are thinking so far. And we've got some, I guess, somewhat diverse reaction, but not on the first one. Everybody believes Brennan will throw more than 3.5 passes. Maybe I should have put this one at 5.5 or 6.5. So bad line by yours truly. I'll own that, yeah. Clint.
I think that was the biggest thing because, I mean, you look at the Twitter poll, that one is through the roof. They're pounding the over like I am right now.
All right, so give me some percentages on Twitter. You've got access to all these things. Yeah. I'm just a guy talking for 2.5 hours, so go pull out your nerd glasses and give me the analytics here. What are the percentages on our first sink or swim question? Brennan, over under 3.5 attempts.
Oh, it is over 89% in favor of Miles Brennan throwing more than 3.5. They're probably thinking the same logic that I am.
And I think it's going to be a bigger half of football for the running back. So we'll see what that does to his passing exposure. So I'm going over there, but I'm a little more dubious. How about our percentages via our tweeps on Twitter? Brees, 325 passing yards.
Twitter is split. They are torn on this one, 50-50 on the over-under.
That's how you know you said a good line.
That was a really good line.
Speaking of cruton, I know we're talking with Billy Embody here in less than an hour. Might have to cruton your boy over to Vegas. And when you can split it to the point you start getting 50-50, that's when the house always wins. All right, our percentages for the third over-under. Todd Gurley, 125 yards from scrimmage.
A lot of people are going under, 67% as opposed to 33 on the over.
All right, let's give you some of the reaction from Facebook while we've got a moment. Cullen F, over, under, under. I think the Breeze under 325 might be the one I'd bet the most money on out of any of these if we started accepting actual bets on our Friday sink or swims. Yours truly just had a little brain you know, bubble that came above his head. We may have to look into that. But I don't think it's going to be a game where Breeze is asked to be Atlas and carry the team on his shoulders. I look for the rushing attack to take center stage. Mike T, over, under, under as well. Same combination for Brant M. Robert D wants over on all three. And then he gave us some commentary. He thinks the Rams game, CD, will be a shootout. Breeze, he said, should have more than 325 yards. Also, I don't know about the D stopping Gurley all day. Here's the thing, Robert. Neither do I. I think Sean McVay may be stopping Gurley in a lot of cases. So that's part of my line of thinking. Finally, Brandon R, over, 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 all three. I just don't think, kind of reverting back, Clint, to that Rams-Saints game, I don't think it's going to even remotely resemble, just for example, that Rams-Chiefs game, right? In primetime last year. I don't think you're about to see a game where both teams score 35-plus points. I think there's going to be a little more defensive accountability than that. I think there's going to be at least one of these teams, frankly, the one that has a better chance of winning, is going to be the one that tries to lean on the ground game a little bit. So you might see, if it's the Saints, I think it's a good sign, like I'm trying to tell you here, I think you might see a couple of drives that are less than, I'm sorry, that are more than 5 or 6 minutes. Both of these teams can go quick strike. I think the winner is not going to necessarily just go quick strike.
And that's the big thing. It's going to wind up having to come down to what this defense does on both sides, because last week we saw it be almost a defensive struggle to a certain extent, at least for the Rams, who have definitely been shown to have one of the greatest offenses in recent memory. They wound up only winning 30-27 last week. So I can agree with you. It's not going to be the shootout that you expected, where it's going to wind up being where I think our guy thinks it's going to be closer to about like a 35-40 point ball game. I think we wind up seeing that go down. Let's just throw it out there. I'll throw my score out right now, and let's go with 28-21.
Saints?
Yeah, Saints win.
Okay. Just checking. They're still going off as 2.5, 3-point underdogs, New Orleans, in this one. So that's not bad. I'll tell you this. It will have a better pace than that slugfest in Charlotte last night.
Yeah, with the fact you had like the rain delay like right after the first quarter started.
And not just the choppiness there. I guess the weather played a factor, but there are so many things that are going on and going wrong with the Carolina Panthers right now. This one blew my mind. Cam Newton has not won any of his last 8 starts. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since week 13 of last year. So if you're there rocking DJ Moore, if you're out there rocking some of these pass catchers for Carolina on your fantasy team, good luck and God bless, because they are a mess. I also don't mind doing a little gloating occasionally. Cousin Dino shot me a text yesterday at about 7:18 p.m. How do I know the time? It was like right before the game started last night, and he was crushing me. He said, I cannot believe you took the Bucks on spreadheads. Dude, they were like 6.5-point dogs, and they won outright. So remind me to rub his face in that like a dog who poos in the house next Wednesday at like 4:30. Can you do that for me?
All right. It is being written down right now. I'll send you the text on Wednesday.
The chances of that note that you're making actually making it to Wednesday at 4:30, I might pound the under on that as well. But just a couple things.
Shade's not till later, Ben.
That's true. That's true. We do have some shade later, and we're still taking submissions for that. You know, that's a thought I've been having for a while now. You and I pack a punch when it comes to throwing shade, but we might start soliciting shade a little bit. I don't know that we've ever had quite as much fun on this program as during the Summer Rival Rant series. And what was that? That was literally just an opportunity for people to crush sports teams and sports figures. At its best, I believe that's actually what throwing shade is. I mean, like, to a T.
Exactly. Mind you, it's a lot more just general topics and targeted towards individuals for the most part. Mind you, I think we can definitely throw shade at Thursday Night Football as a whole, but then again, we can do that almost every week and be right.
I might have to throw shade at myself. I understand that LSU played Texas last week, but I remember I got a call from Blaine, I think it was Saturday. So it must have been the day after he hosted the show, and he's like, dude, we took like 7 calls in the opening 2 segments. What's going on here, dude? I mean, we are the smelly kid on the bus right now. Everybody has just made a beeline to the other side. That's fine. That's fine. We got some friends. We'll bring them aboard. Justin Vincent, as well as Billy Embody, in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, we got to wind down this hour with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Infighting. Yeah, like in-fighting. And I've stayed away from this topic most of the week, but it's gotten to pretty hilarious proportions. Some of the infighting going on within Cajun fan and Cajun student fan nation, to me, is hilarious, right? They moved the student tailgate here. Why didn't they move it here? They should have moved it here. The Vermillion printing stories. Snipes back from the voice of the Cajuns. Just show up to the game. At this point, who cares where the hell you are? Just freaking come. I'll be there tomorrow. Stop the infighting. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back with Justin Vincent on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And for the next hour and a half, you've got Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. I missed chatting with this guy last week, so let's bring him back. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, Justin Vincent, Development Officer with the Tiger Athletic Foundation, and of course, a former LSU Tiger great on the gridiron. JV, it's great to talk to you, man. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, life is pretty good on this side of the basin, but give me your lasting impressions of what was a memorable trip to Austin, Texas.
Walking out of there with a dub. It was, you know, dealing with the heat and the fans and the placement of where they put our fans and just the whole nine, man. Just to walk out there with victory and, you know, hold our heads high. And, you know, those guys did a great job.
Ruffin Rodriguez was with us earlier this week. He said it was probably midway through the game before he realized the band was in the upper deck. When did you notice?
I sat right next to him.
That's so unbelievable.
So Ruffin got the luxury of sitting in the suite. So he know a couple of Texas folks, so he was in the suite. That's why he didn't notice him, but I was sitting right next to him.
It's just incredible. I have to imagine that was a surreal experience for everybody, but what do you think it was like for those band members? I've never in my life seen that at any level of football.
You know, I think it might be a Big 12 thing, because somebody took a screenshot of UTSA's band at Baylor, and they were in the uppers. So I don't know, you know, how they operate, and I know, you know, Texas and Oklahoma are the only two ones that actually travel. They got a bunch of rules and regulations as far as tickets and fan placement and all that stuff, you know. And also at the game, what a lot of people don't know is, you know, I've been playing football for 20-some-odd years of my life. Feels like forever. And I've never played a game, whether it's high school, college, or professionally, where the buses were not able to drive up to the stadium and drop you off. Those kids had to walk through their fans for about maybe, further than probably two football fields went to the stadium through their fans to the locker room.
Yeah, that's different. And certainly there were obstacles in that game. The heat, I think, was just one of them. But as we start to spin it forward a little bit, Justin Vincent, our guest on 103.7 The Game, give me, I guess, your best former LSU quarterback comparison to this current guy in Joe Burrow, not just by style of play, but maybe even confidence. If you think, say, Rohan Davion Ford, is there anybody that he reminds you of that you just say, wow, man, I'll go into a foxhole with this guy anytime?
Oh, no doubt. Definitely Rohan or DeMarcus, man. You know, somebody who is fearless, who doesn't mind, talking back to players when they're jawing at him. He kind of demands it. What's funny about him is that, you know, if you walk the halls of football ops, which I do probably 3 or 4 times a week, if you don't speak to him, he doesn't even say hello. Like, he's a very kind of a shy, kind of to himself type of dude, but when he puts that helmet on, he unleashes a demon. He's ready to roll.
It's incredible what he did in that ball game. I guess your expectations for how much he'll be used, I just don't get the sense that Ogeron, Ensminger, Brady, I don't think that they're stat chasers. I don't think they want this guy to win the Heisman because he plays four quarters against Northwestern State. So how do you think they manage the quarterbacks tomorrow night?
I think if we jump out on them, you know, like we did against Georgia Southern, I think you'll be done at halftime. I think you give them two quarters of play, depending on how things are going. And then after that, you know, throw in Miles. I mean, and maybe at the end, maybe let Peter Parris get a little bit of burn. But I don't see him being out there that long at all.
You played the running back position, like you said, just about all of your life. Who are some of the other guys that maybe have a big opportunity in this game and maybe a platform to prove they belong in the regular rotation come SEC play?
You know, definitely Emory and Price, man. And they have a great opportunity to get a lot of totes under their belt, build that confidence, playing their life at Tiger Stadium. I know it in the SEC atmosphere, but just to get the feel of it. I know there was a run in that game because I was sitting in the end zone and I could see, you know, Davis Price got that carry. I mean, if he just stuck to the left and stuck with his gut feeling, but he tried to jump cut and got stuck behind offensive lineman. Just trust your instincts. You're a great runner. You know, that's why you've got a scholarship to play football at LSU. And I expect those guys to have a great game this week.
You know, one thing I've been thinking about, they've obviously tailored this year's offense to the way they want it to be, I think, going forward. But they've done it even more to this year's talent. Because they have this type of receiving core, because they've got a returning quarterback in Burrow, everything we're seeing makes sense. But do you think that this is the long-term future of the LSU offense, or is it just because, hey, this year's talent fits what we're seeing?
No, I think this is what Coach O always wanted. I think we have no choice but, you know, bringing in somebody like Joe Brady to kind of reshape this offense and do some things and give Steve some new ideas and those guys, you know, go hand in hand. So I think this is something that he always wanted. He wants to put up some points, wants to ring that scoreboard up and let the defense go to work. You know, I want to go back to the days when I was in school when we were throwing up 30 to 40 points on people and we can let other folks play.
Yeah, I think they're quickly getting there. Our guest is Justin Vincent with the Tiger Athletic Foundation. Friday's at 5. He's good enough to join us on 103.7 The Game. Defensively, your take on a game that was a shootout and kind of meant necessarily, I believe, that Dave Aranda's defense took a few lumps.
Yeah, they took a couple of them on the chin. There's some things they can correct. I think the defensive line did a pretty good job. Texas has a pretty good offensive line, so I don't want to, you know, to kind of bash them at all because they did a great job. But on the back end, you know, there's some things that can be cleaned up a little bit. You know, guys, I guess, peeking in the backfield. You know, I think they were buying in that he wasn't much of a thrower and he was a runner. And we got kind of bit us in the butt a little bit, but I think those guys will shake back from that and we'll be fine moving forward.
Two games in, give me your observations about a guy you know very well, Derek Stingley Jr.
He's who we thought he was. You know, he had an opportunity last week going against a top-tier receiver in this country and definitely in that conference, and he proved himself, in my opinion. Now, obviously, he's going to get tested a whole lot more, you know, coming down the road in SEC. There's some great receivers at some other schools, but he definitely, his game tape is pretty darn good right now.
You know, the one thing I would notice is for a little bit there in the middle of the game, due to an injury, we watched Christian Fulton have to step out. And, you know, with some of the guys that hit the transfer portal at that position, LSU's a little thin there. They're not short on talent, but if something like that happens, to Fulton or to Stingley, I guess your level of comfort with somebody like Cordell Flott coming in and playing big minutes.
Yeah, Cordell Flott, I think you're given more time. I think you'll be a great player for us, and I think if something was like that to happen, we'll take KV and Kerry Vincent and bump him out and give an opportunity for some other guys back there. But, I mean, I know talent-wise we're fine, like you said, but, yeah, the bodies come a little thin at times, but hopefully that is something we don't ever have to deal with.
If you consider the kicker LSU had last year and this young goat they have right now in Cade York, can you think of a better span of guys that have done it in LSU, and at least in recent LSU football history?
No, I mean, I guess no. Not, I mean, definitely not recently. You know, you'd have to go back to your Ryan Godays and your Chris Jacksons, and then you know, there's just so few that you can actually kind of put a ping on it. You know, we gave some scholarships out a few years ago, and guys just been paying out for whatever reason. And kicking is a challenging deal, and a lot of people don't understand that. That's a lot of pressure. You know, obviously all they do is kick, but that's still, you know, not saying those guys are not ball players. They have just as much anxiety as I would have if I was out there, you know, running the ball. But their stage is a little bit bigger. They're kind of set up for the world to see. I can make a mistake out there running the ball. You can't see. They make a mistake and people want them to transfer schools and they got to hide and all that stuff. So, you know, I commend those young men, but I haven't seen anything like that.
You know, Justin, I think our listeners would love to know what it's like inside of a recruiting war room. And you were a huge part of that for years at LSU. Not everybody, I think, in the general public loves the idea of using scholarships on, I think, kickers they understand, but then other specialists. What's it like as you kind of lobby for, hey, this is a fit for our class, or maybe we need to spend another one on O-line, D-line, or talent guys? I mean, what's that conversation like in rooms like that?
You know, it's pretty difficult sometimes because you get the butting of the heads, but at the same time, you know, let's take the Ferguson boys, for example. You know, if you didn't have long snappers that won scholarship, you would actually be trying to convert somebody or trying to convert a walk-on who's never done it before, or somebody who did it sparingly in high school. So if you got you one in the hub that's significantly one of the best in the country and has an opportunity to come here and snap for you for 4 years and make sure the ball gets there and things are done right, then you should. You know, absolutely should, because at the end of the day, those things still put points on the board. Those give you opportunities to win ball games. So if there's a place and time, you know, where you can not want to take one and use it on a running back or a quarterback or a lineman. But I'm not into just taking folks just to take folks. If we need a guy, especially at a special position, and he's one of the best, I'm all for offering him and giving him a scholarship to LSU.
Finishing up our weekly chat with Justin Vincent. All right, your Bar Bucks coming on the road in this direction. They're taking on St. Thomas More tonight in Lafayette. I know that used to be a district ball game. I'm sure you got some familiarity there.
Yeah, I'm on my way right now. I just got out of the basin. Like as soon as you called me, I'm headed that way right now. I'm gonna do the pregame speech. Hopefully, I can get them fired up and get them going. So, but yeah, I'm excited about it. I got a godchild and two little cousins that play for them. So I'm excited to see them get some work in tonight.
I had no idea you're heading this way, man. That's awesome. And I'll tell you this: the radio broadcast crew just came through the Barb team and. You know, once they figured out that I covered LSU football for a while, they said, oh, yeah, well, you might have known this guy Trey we sent through there. Yeah, Trey Quinn, pretty special. You know, Deshaun Smith and a lot of those guys. And, look, it's a program that continues to have a lot of success. So, hopefully tonight's a great competitive ball game.
Yeah, I hope so too, man. Get out of there, get victory injury-free, and move on to the next one.
There it is. Hey, look forward to catching up next Friday. Good luck with that speech tonight.
All right, thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Justin Vincent continuing to do a great job as a development officer for the Tiger Athletic Foundation. You catch him Saturdays out there at the tailgate all day long. And apparently tonight you'll catch him out at Cougar Stadium. And that should be a whole lot of fun. Clint, I had no idea. I'm going to give you a demerit as a producer. Could have had old boy here in the 237 Room Studios. Of course, he'd had to leave, it sounds like, maybe about 20 minutes earlier.
Exactly. And, you know, that's just what happens. I don't know what's going on with his itinerary. I don't have that handy.
You mean you aren't exchanging texts with Justin Vincent like on Tuesday about this interview of every week?
I think I should going forward whenever they have like an in-area game. And I know that'll be quite often. See, hey, are you going to be in town for this? Because that'd be great to have him live in the studio.
Yeah, you're going to get that new phone. Who dis? I mean, and it may happen every week way.
No, it'll just be like, who the hell is this guy?
Yes, that could be the case as well. So, of course, I lied. I said he may have had to leave 20 minutes early. If he's on the basin right now, he might have had to leave like an hour and a half prior to now. Nonetheless, safe travels, JV. We appreciate the time. Per the usual, quick break. When we return, got time to hear from you. I also want to go back to Saints-Rams, let you hear a little bit from the guys that will be playing and coaching in that huge ball game on Sunday. Stick with us. It's a Friday edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll bounce right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Hey, the Friday night games, I get it, that's the thing. But the game before the game, that's not bad either. We like to call that football night in Acadiana pregame style. Myself and this year, joined by Raymond Parse III, so we'll hit you with a duo from 6 to 6:30 every Friday, and you'll catch that within the next 42 minutes. We're coming soon. And in about Oh, I'd say 20, maybe 25 minutes. Billy Embody, go247.com. Going to let you know the latest on the recruits expected to come to Baton Rouge tomorrow night, as well as his take on this Raging Cajuns recruiting class of 2020. He's got some interesting thoughts there. I'll make sure he shares them with you at 5:45. We'll also throw some shade in the next segment, but right about now, I want to get right back to the biggest NFL game of the weekend. No, it's not the one where Antonio Brown's going to strap on the number one and play for the New England Patriots. It's got to be the rematch of the NFC title game last January. Or, you know, this January. I get confused. But it's going to be the Rams, the Saints, and according to Jared Goff, well, it's just going to be another game for the defending NFC champs.
We're trying to go 2-0. I think that would be their mindset as well. They're trying to win the game just like we are. I don't think there's nothing that, you know, we're taking from last year as motivation. And if they are, great. But it's, you know, just another game for us. And it's our home opener after not being at home in a long time. And excited to see our fans. It'll be a big one. And it'll be a lot of fun.
A little bit of a he said, right? Okay, that was part one from Jared Goff. The other he, that would be Teron Armstead. The Saints starting left tackle was asked if, and this will make Clint very happy, he was asked if Saints-Rams is a rivalry.
I mean, it's just the next game, so however everybody want to approach it, that's fine, but we need this win for sure, and we're going out there to take one.
Pity for your thoughts, Clint.
This is almost exactly verbatim what Drew Brees said a couple days before this one kind of came out yesterday, and I got to say, no surprise there. It feels like they're treating this just like the next game. But there definitely is probably some undertones of a rivalry in there because of the fact I mentioned it earlier in the week. This is like the fourth time they've played each other in like three seasons. It's unreal.
Undertones of a rivalry. I might pigeonhole that into being my fantasy team name at some point. What in the hell are undertones of a rivalry? I don't know. Maybe you could say that LSU-Alabama in the last 7.5 years have had undertones of a rivalry.
I think
until somebody wins, okay, well, Saints Rams is a little different.
Well, just the game itself has like it's not the big story of it being a rivalry, but it's in there somewhere, like third or fourth down from the list. Whenever you kind of put together the game notes, if you're a broadcaster,
it's kind of like saying, and I've heard somebody use this phrase, mild hatred. That's not a thing.
Yeah, that
the word for that is dislike.
Yes.
Okay, hatred is necessarily going toward one end of the spectrum. Please go home and try to tell your wife tonight that you mildly love her and see how that goes for you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
You might be sleeping in the doghouse.
Back away from undertones of a rivalry, right? You're just going to beep, beep. We're going to just put the truck in reverse a little bit, the bus, and back up from that one. But we will let you hear more from the Saints players that will be involved in the fracas Sunday in the Coliseum. A.J. Klein, Saints linebacker, his 2 cents on this Rams offense.
Obviously, they have playmakers, deep shots, four talented wide receivers that could be starters anywhere in the league. So, obviously, a great backfield with Gurley. And, I mean, they're just a complete football team when you look at them from top to bottom. They can beat you in the run. They can beat you over the top. And Goff as well has really stepped up his game. So, going forward, again, we unpacked our game from last week, looked at where we can definitely improve. We had quite a few mistakes, so looking forward to getting to play these guys again. I know ended the season on a sour note last year, but we're past that and just ready to take them on again for 2019.
Okay. Don't know that I heard a word he said. Don't know that you did out there, YP, you people in listener land. So I'm going to give you two options of what was going on in the background of that clip. Were they A, filming a church's chicken commercial, or B, taping a fantasy football podcast, or, I just thought of this, C, was it the church's chicken lady taping a fantasy football podcast?
I'd probably go with option D, none of the above. I think they probably were all just like, because here's the thing, I know they have over there, they got ping pong tables, and they could have been an intense ping pong match. I know they got the N64 out there from time to time, so maybe they were just goofing around, and conveniently, AJ Klein, instead of stepping away and going towards his locker, everything is like right there.
I'm scared to let you press this next button, but we want you to hear from Ryan Ramczyk. The offensive line, by and large, played pretty well against JJ Watt and the Texans. Here, Ramczyk,
only a second-year player, but so good. He knows that O-line has to play together and gel against a really talented Rams front.
Again, a great player, physical, powerful, quick, all the attributes you need to be a great player in the NFL. And, you know, it's going to be the same thing this week. You know, we all got to be on the same page. We all got to be knowing what we're doing. And then it's just going out and playing and executing the plan.
So here's the thing, Clint. That man, unless something weird happens, will probably never score a touchdown, right, in his career, unless he recovers a fumble or they do some kind of, you know, whatever, off-balance line, he catches a pass. He'll never make that type of, you know, actual scoring impact. But the more I watch him, and I watch some people on Twitter that dissected film, and, I mean, this guy, for a long portion in that game Monday night, put J.J. Watt in a straitjacket. I mean, legitimately. I'm not so sure that Ramczyk isn't one of the three or four best players on the Saints' offense, maybe one of the five or six best players in their entire team. I understand it's hard to ever want to put him ahead of Breeze, Thomas, or Kamara. But I'm not sure it could be, I mean, overstated how important Ryan Ramczyk is to this offense.
He is absolutely huge when it comes to the offense. And with the offensive line, I mean, we talked about it. I've talked about it a lot with Teron Armstead and his inconsistency with injury. Ryan Ramczyk has been absolutely huge for this franchise.
All right, we're bouncing around a bit, but let's land it in this segment with the Wonderkin and the head coach of the Los Angeles football Rams. Sean McVay gives his overall preview of the Saints in this ballgame.
You know, it's a great team coming in, you know, and for us, play each game as its own entity. This is a great football team. They were the one seed in the NFC for a reason, had a great win against a really good football team on Monday night where you can see they're a resilient football team. They're very well coached. They got great players. It's going to be a great challenge. We're excited about it.
Big game. Two good teams. Kind of curious about the environment, right, Clint? I mean, it's not as bad as that soccer stadium the LA Chargers are in, but it's the old school Coliseum. Who was it with us earlier this week? It might have been Gus Kattengill, but somebody informed us that the Saints haven't played there since the 70s.
I think that was your boy Gus Kattengill.
That's
that
pretty
up.
Remarkable. And we all understand why, right? You know, they're not going to take on USC or UCLA, right? We get that. Yeah. But the Saints haven't played there in the better part of 40-something years. So yeah. I'm interested to see how that environment's going to be. I know that on the West Coast, they have other options, right? Not just sporting-wise, but life's pretty good out there. Weather's yep. pretty good out there. So I'm interested to see just how much support there is. Maybe your boy Money Mayweather will be out there watching the Rams again.
He probably will be, and he'll be just front and center, enjoying everything, getting footballs tossed
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, I mean, they catch touchdowns and just toss it to the guy, so I'm sure he has personal coin on the game. Don't know that he consulted Cousin Dino. Ultimately, that may serve him well. All right, we're halfway home in our 5 o'clock hour. Going to throw some shade on the other side of this break. Billy Embody coming aboard at 5:45. And then myself, RP3, bring you into the STM Barb game on Acadiana Sports Station with what we like to call Football Night in Acadiana. Clint, not a call yet in the show. SMH, bro. We'll see if we can change it on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we are crushing it today. With you, without you, we're still doing it on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Staying afloat on a football Friday? Best to believe that. And we're getting you closer to STM Barb on 103.7 The Game. But right now, how about a slump buster? Holy hell, we're going to take a phone call. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Daryl, it's good to hear from you. Let's talk some Saints Rams.
Hey, Ben Love, what's up?
Oh, getting ready for some football.
Well, I was scanning the memory banks here, and you said Gus Kattengill told you that the Saints haven't played in Coliseum in 40 years or whatever it was, a long time.
I think what he told us, and look, full disclosure, I didn't go try to verify it after, but I think he said they haven't played there since the 70s.
Well, here's my thing. The Saints and Rams have played four times since the Rams moved back to Los Angeles, and the series is tied 2-2. The Saints trashed them in the Superdome the first in 2016. Then in 2017, the Saints went to the West Coast and lost. and then twice last year with a split last year. But in 2017, the Saints definitely went to the West Coast. I don't know where the game was. I'm assuming it was in the Coliseum.
Daryl, I remember that game because a rookie, Alvin Kamara, ran a kickback for a touchdown, right? And so I know the exact game you're talking about, but I don't know for sure if it was in the Coliseum, so shame on me.
Or did they?
Go ahead.
Maybe, I'm just thinking, did they shell stadium, that soccer stadium with the Chargers that year?
That's a good thought. That's a good thought. And you're on to something here. Let me see if I can verify that. Daryl, that's a good call. It's a good phone call, but then it's a good call as well. We appreciate it. CD, we have one more taker that wants to come and join in on the fun.
Yeah, our guy Ron wants to get on the Saints action.
Let's get it out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. I guess when you're hot, you're hot, even when you need to throw some shade. We'll catch it soon. Ron, how are you today?
I'm good. I wanted to make a comment on the game Sunday. You're talking about the Rams and the Saints. I'm just tuning in. But what's the chances? I guess it's a good chance that the Saints will be playing the Rams twice this year, you know, this game and further down the line. You think that's a real good possibility?
I would say, and Ron, I appreciate the call, I would say about a 50% chance, right? And so the way I look at it, I think that those are two of the best four teams in the NFC. Preseason, I was really big on the Chicago Bears. I'm probably in the midst of being put a little bit in my place. We'll figure out what Mitch Trubisky and David Montgomery are about, again, starting in week two. I think the Philadelphia Eagles, I think the Dallas Cowboys are making some statements. We'll see if they echo out for the entire season. Certainly, we don't want to bury the Packers, maybe the Falcons. Here's my point. There are a lot of teams that could be up there with the Saints and the Rams, but we know that those are going to be two of the teams that are going to be in the playoff hunt, if not leading the chase for bye weeks. And so with that being the case, hey, if they're two of the six that are in there, the chances are pretty good that they will cross paths again. And if they play four times in 2 years and two of them are in the playoffs, then yes, Clint, we can start to talk about a rivalry. But right now, I got to remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Head out to their website, patiocenter.com, and know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. It's a beautiful thing in 2019. So let the pros at Patio Center give you the best patio game on the block before the Saints go marching in toward the Super Bowl. It all starts with a trip to their website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
And immediately, it's become a twofer. Clint has confirmed that 2017 game that Daryl called about was in the L.A. Memorial Coliseum. The town is that way. My friend is a moron. So a little bit of Dumb and Dumber for you there. We were wrong. We fixed it. But originally, I wanted to let Tim Tebow speak to you in this segment. We're still going to do that, and then we'll ask, are you throwing shade at this?
I feel like I have a little credibility and knowledge about this because when I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it, and if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about. But now we're changing it from my university, from being an alumni where I care, which makes college football and college sports special, to then, okay, it's not about us, it's not about we, it's just about me. And yes, I know we live in a selfish culture where it's all about us, but we're just adding and piling it onto that, where it changes what's special about college football. We turn it into the NFL, where who has the most money, that's where you go. That's why people are more passionate about college sports than they are about NFL. That's why the stadiums are bigger in college than they are in the NFL, because it's about your team. It's about your university. It's about where my family wanted to go. It's about where my grandfather had a dream of seeing Florida win an SEC championship.
Yeah, we'll start to fade him out there. The California Senate passed a bill allowing student-athletes to have endorsements. Tim Tebow, not a fan of that. I think it's a noble statement. My guess is most don't agree with him. Most student athletes that did play and are playing the game, but it's very interesting. That guy certainly not afraid to stick his neck out there.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
You know what? No shade, because I think we all heard Stephen A. trying to embrace debate there. Thankfully, Tebow stiff-armed him out of that conversation. Good on you there, at least, Timmy. We got to hit our final break in the hour. We'll talk LSU, UL recruiting, and a little bit on Darius Geis as well, from a guy who would know. Billy Embody next, and then it's football night in Acadiana, all on 103.7 The Game. Tune in Monday morning from 6 to 9 for RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. A lot of fun so far on a Friday, and now we're going to keep it going. Got a great guest for you to wind down the program today, and let's go find him. Out aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Billy Embody, go247.com. Billy, how the heck are you today?
I'm doing well, Ben. How are you?
Life is good here. We talked to your compadre, Shea Dixon, earlier in the week. We got some of his reaction about the recruiting reaction to LSU over Texas. I want to hear your same thoughts. The kids, maybe the high school coaches, from around the state that you've talked to this week, what have they told you?
Yeah, the offense was the big story, and we heard about it all offseason, how it was going to be different, it was going to be changed up, it was going to be fast. We saw it against Georgia Southern, but still, you're kind of going into that game saying, well, we need to see it against Texas, right? And they came out, and they were just really impressive, especially in the second half. Joe Burrow, that offense was moving the ball up and down the field. You saw on the broadcast, Joe Brady was caught saying they can't stop it, and it was true. And to an extent, it was true for LSU's defense as well. They couldn't stop Texas. But LSU was the big storyline, that offense and what they were able to do. I mean, think about all the Big 12 games that have rolled through Austin, and Joe Burrow set the single-game passing record for a quarterback in Austin. That is just incredible. And to have 300-yard wide receivers as well, recruits loved it. They loved the tempo that they played with. They loved the way they got the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the passing game as well. It was a little bit tough sledding at times in the running game for him, but they know that LSU has the ability to run the football, and that's something that's always going to be there, it seems like. But the passing game took center stage, and some of the states and really the nation's top wide receivers really took notice. I even got an air raid reference out of somebody after the weekend.
These are weird times that we live in, but certainly beneficial ones for Ed Ogeron on the offensive recruiting front. Speaking of offensive, what about that line and the efforts for this class of 2020? Some of the latest developments on how the Tigers, I think, round out the biggest area of need in what's been a stellar class so far, Billy.
Yeah, they've got Marlon Martinez committed. Cameron Jackson, the Hainesville two-way lineman, is one that we'll kind of watch as an offensive tackle prospect. But they do want to close with another offensive tackle or two. Marcus Dumervil out of South Florida is the biggest one. They need to get him back on campus for a game. They've already used an official visit. I think he makes it back in Baton Rouge for a game at some point this season. Maybe Florida, maybe Auburn. We'll just have to track that one. But another name to monitor is Tykeus Crawford out of Carthage. He's an Arkansas commitment. He's been committed for a while to the Hogs. But look, they're struggling on the field. While there's immediate playing time in Arkansas available to him, and he's got some good relationships with the staff, wouldn't surprise me if LSU is going to get an official visit from him and to see him pop up on campus at some point for a game. Those are the two big names on the offensive tackle front for LSU right now, which is really what they need to close with the most out of any position.
Our guest, the one and only Billy Embody, go247.com. Good enough to join us on this Football Friday on 103.7 The Game. I know that we continue to see a fluctuation in the way coaches use home games for official visits. And sometimes, Billy, you know this, even the SEC games aren't drawing 2, 3, 4, 5-plus official visitors. For a ball game like Northwestern State that has a little bit less luster to it, how do the coaches use this as a recruiting tool?
Well, they use it as one where they could get a couple big-time prospects on campus again for visits. And for Ed Ogeron, they're bringing in a huge, huge target pass rusher, Danelle Harris. He's going to be on an unofficial visit with his entire family this weekend. He's out of South Florida. He reclassified to the 2020 class. And he's somebody that, look, another position of need. They need edge rushers. They need somebody
that they can rely on and develop to, you know, eventually take over for Caleb on Chasson. And so he's going to make his first visit to Baton Rouge, and they'll be able to give him a ton of attention. It's a game where theoretically LSU is going to take care of business, and they'll be able to, you know, spend time with him before the game and really give him that one-on-one attention. And with his family coming down, it'll kind of be like a shortened official visit. They'll be able to really roll out the red carpet and then hope that they can get him back for an official visit later in the fall or after the season before he decides.
You got to take a pretty good look at this 2019 class, and that includes Peter Parrish, quarterback out of the state of Alabama. No telling at this point whether or not we see him turn loose for some time tomorrow night in Tiger Stadium, but how would you grade out, I guess, the ceiling on the young man and also the type of quarterback that he is?
Yeah, Peter Parrish is somebody that I think in terms of the tools of the quarterbacks that we've seen have a lot of success, he has them. The natural comparison is kind of Jalen Hurts, but I think he's more of a runner at this point and certainly needs to continue to develop as a passer. He was really good at camp, and he comes from a great program that's known for winning in Phoenix City, Central High School in Phoenix City, Alabama. And so he's improved each year. He moved from Miami heading into his junior year. He split snaps with a senior quarterback that was highly recruited. Then he took over as a senior, and he won a state championship and actually out-dueled the younger brother of Tua Tagovailoa, Talia Tagovailoa, for the state championship. So he's got upside. I'd love to see him get some reps in one of these, you know, four games that he can redshirt in, get him some tape and kind of give him something to work on as he kind of navigates his first season in Baton Rouge. But a lot of upside, just needs to kind of, I think, develop more consistency in his throwing motion and kind of establish that to take the next step and really compete for the starting quarterback job after Joe Burrow leaves.
How about a very early look at the inroads LSU's making right now with the 2021 class?
Yeah, I think one prospect for me that's really kind of on a hot streak right now is Mason Smith, the five-star defensive tackle out of Terrebonne down there in Houma, and he's somebody that there's a lot of buzz around LSU right now. He's visited already for the home game. He's had positive things to say about the win over Texas. Wouldn't shock me if he was back on campus this weekend. A lot of buzz around him, a lot of buzz around Sage Ryan out of the Lafayette area, who's really highly rated on 24/7 Sports as well and has an LSU offer and ties, of course. And so for me, those are kind of two right now that come to mind right off the start in the state of Louisiana that I think you see more likely than not end up at LSU.
Coming down the stretch with Billy Embody, go247.com. And you've had a pretty long-term affiliation with the Washington Redskins franchise doing some work there. We talked to you before about Darius Geis. Just a bummer, man. For the second straight season, he's going to miss a good bit of time. Not yet the whole season, but I believe the reported news, Billy, up to 8 weeks maybe with a meniscus injury. The Redskins placed him on IR earlier today as he's destined for knee surgery. I guess what can you share about that young man and his life after LSU as he's trying to do what he did on the field there for the Skins?
Yeah, he's one, I think, just an awesome guy to be around. Bubbly personality and one that has the respect of the locker room. I think that the way he worked back from that ACL tear last year and now he's going to work back from this meniscus. Adrian Peterson has been a real big help to him as he's come through his career. And they're really, really close. And, you know, Adrian was a healthy scratch for the first time in his career, but supported him. And now it looks like he'll be back in the fold. But you know, Darius is somebody that just needs to get healthy. And he got healthy from that ACL, but I think that knee from LSU, whatever happened that year, was just kind of maybe lingering. And maybe it should have been scoped or maybe it should have been this or that. But somebody that will now, I think, have the chance to fully get healthy. And if not this year, I mean, next year, we just look for that explosiveness that we saw in the first preseason game against New England, his rookie year, and then that first preseason game of action that he saw against Atlanta, and he had his moments against Philadelphia too in our season opener. So awesome young man. He's kind of the different breed of football players that you're going to see in the future as these, you know, millennials and Gen whatever they are nowadays kind of come up. You know, somebody who plays video games, active on social media, but just keeps his head down and works. And that's what I love about him is he's got a workman-like mentality and he'll bounce back, and he's going to be just fine and all of that.
My producer's telling me it's Gen Z. So I guess we'll go with that because it's it's not me and it's not you, Billy, but we're going to go with that for now and hope nobody bounces back on us. Hey, I know I'm bouncing all over the place, but let's end the interview. You canvass not only, I guess, what LSU's doing in recruiting, but the state. And that means that you've paid close attention over the last year and a half to what Billy Napier and the Cajuns have put on paper. So I guess your thoughts on the 2020 class that's materializing for UL.
Yeah, I mean, just a phenomenal job of using, I think, analytics to really kind of canvas Louisiana, Texas, some of these surrounding states, and hit on prospects that they really thought highly of, and you see once their senior tape comes out that they're going to be difference makers at the college level, and you're seeing that again in the 2021 class or the 2020 class. They have to be a little bit more selective. They don't have as many spots left, but there's a lot of buzz around UL. I mean, I was talking with another staffer at another school, and he said, look, I mean, this is a program that is a Power 5 program in terms of how it's run, how they recruit, how they approach the recruiting process. And I think that speaks the most volumes, not only from about Billy Napier, but about his entire staff, just the expectations that they have. And you know, they advanced to the Sun Belt championship last year. They'll be able to build off of that this year. That performance that they had against Mississippi State, you know, raised a lot of eyebrows. There's a lot of guys that around the state are considering, I would say, staying in state more than they ever have because they've got an opportunity to, you know, if it's not LSU, they can stay and play for UL, or Tulane is having a good run, and La Tech is impressive. But UL is run at such a high level in terms of their facilities, in terms of their commitment to the program, that the sky's kind of the limit for them in terms of what they can do as one of the strongest group of five programs in the country.
Billy, per the usual, you are the man. I appreciate the time and look forward to chatting again soon. Thanks for doing it.
Sounds good, man. Anytime.
The one and only, Billy Embody, go247.com. And how about us? 2 hours deep so far and still having a lot of fun on a Friday. We have been big time into the Saints-Rams game. We've talked some LSU, Raging Cajuns as well. Bit of a look around the college football landscape. Kind of a stinker of a weekend coming up on paper, but we haven't yet dipped into the high school waters. Oh, we're going to change that. And I got somebody coming to sit in with me. It's not the debut of Football Night in Acadiana pregame style for 2019. RP3 did that himself last week. Appreciate the helper. But today we help each other. Yeah, that's right. Yours truly, along with Raymond Parse III. You're going to get a half hour on the other side of this hour break. And it is time for Football Night in Acadiana. All the latest from our local teams, what to expect tonight. And we span the state as well. So don't go anywhere. More of the good stuff coming at you on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.